We're a desperate team that want to get back to playing finals footy.
Just try and enjoy the journey because it won't be there forever.
We're just trying to build respect and trying to change the perception around Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, this is just an absolute gift showing us where we need to work on.
Best didn't get us the win, but all we can ask is to bring out the best we can bring.
Thinking, what have I done? You know, how did it happen?
You don't just give kids games because they're high draft picks. That's as simple as that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yeah, welcome one, welcome all. Nice to have you with us on the Inner Sanctum of the Magpies this morning. Taylor Adams back again. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning, Half. Thanks for having me again.
Great to have you. Now, it's nice to see you walk in without any apparatus on. This is good business. How's the knee?
Yeah, going really well. Had the brace taken off about 10 days ago, so started running, progressing really, really well. Did a bit of change of direction on Tuesday.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
At pace?
Yeah, actually going pretty, probably about 85%.
That's good.
Obviously, it's all planned, change direction, so still got a little while to go, but making some really good inroads and feeling good about it.
It's obviously been a fairly challenging period for the football club, let alone for you. How are you coping not being out there trying to do something about it?
Yeah, that's probably the hardest thing about being injured, having to watch the games and feeling a little bit useless at times. I found it pretty good. I've enjoyed, I've sat in the box for the last four games and...
What's that like? I've never sat in the box.
Yeah, it's a great experience. It's obviously from a different perspective. You're not necessarily just watching the game. You're sort of analysing parts of the game. And in particular for me, obviously keeping a closer eye on the midfield group. Working alongside Brenton Sanderson to try to work out the trends and what's happening out on the ground. And I've even been able to get on the phone and have a chat with a few of the boys out there. And it's been a great experience. The coaching boxes, you know, I think they've changed over the years. They've become a lot more analytical than emotional, and
which is a good thing. Trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Our box seems to function pretty well, and it certainly helps when you're winning. That's for sure. Makes the box a little bit more enjoyable.
Do you find you have that analytical mind when you're watching the game and looking at trends, as you're talking about with Sando? Do you find that that comes naturally, or do you have to sort of stretch for it?
No, I enjoy that part of the game. I like stats and numbers. And, yeah, I think once you get a genuine feel for, when you're playing, what to look for, it makes it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a player, it's going to help me when I get back to playing. You can sort of see things that are happening out on the ground that are really hard to necessarily feel when you're out there or see when you're out there. So, it's been a great experience. I've been lucky that Sando's welcomed me up there, and he's been really inviting. And we sit down a couple of times a week and go through vision with players and look at what the oppo do. And it's been a great experience.
Nice.
I want to ask more questions about that, but just back to your injury situation, would you say you're ahead of schedule or on schedule? Where would you see yourself? Because I must confess, I thought, you might be back after the bye, but with what you're saying now, is that potentially earlier? Or?
Yeah, I'll definitely play before the bye now. When that is, I'm not exactly sure. It sort of depends on how next week goes. You know, this week's been an introductory change of direction, build up some speed, return to running, and it's gone really well. I haven't had any pain at all. In terms of my function, I'm moving better than I probably thought. I was a little bit nervous going out there on Tuesday, but sort of, in terms of what I was able to do, I sort of shot the lights out. So I was really fortunate that I got through that and pulled up really well and go again today and then go again Saturday. So the next 5 or 6 days are really important, but I'll definitely play footy before the bye.
As Half alluded to, it obviously has been a challenging period for the club, and you not being out there as a leader, Does it make you want to come back quicker, or are you trying to do anything you can to get back quicker, or do you have to? It's very much process driven. You can't afford to worry about all the other stuff. You've just got to get your knee right.
Yeah, it's certainly process driven. With this type of injury, it's not like a soft tissue injury. You can feel good after 10 days, and then you can sort of feel like you can push it, and that's when you get held back, and it can become really frustrating as an athlete. With this sort of injury, for the first 3 weeks, I knew that I was completely unable to do anything. I was in the brace, obviously, and now I'm sort of building up, and I'm still not 100% confident in what my knee's going to do. So It's definitely process driven. The injury, we're waiting for a ligament to basically be strong enough to withstand what is going to be thrown at me on a match day. So I won't be. You just can't rush something like this back. If it's for an extra week quicker, and you know, I potentially miss 10 to 12 weeks if I re-injure it, or the rest of the season. We won't be taking any risks.
So for those that are listening and didn't remember the injury at the time, it was decided that you wouldn't have surgery. It was almost just rest and let it knit back together, or I don't know what it does. But so how, from a recovery situation, how is it different to someone that does have a surgery where it sort of gets immediately fixed and then has to heal? Is there any real sort of RPA type stuff here?
I think they're very similar. The reason why mine didn't need to be surgically repaired was because the tear wasn't big enough.
Yep.
And so enough of the ligament was still attached to the bone, and everything around it in terms of the joint was really, really good in terms of like the bruising around the joint compared to other MCLs that the surgeon had seen. It was relatively unharmed, and they thought that with rest and being in the brace, provided with obviously a bit of luck, that it would stick down, become strong enough, and then over time, like it takes 12 to 15 weeks for it to completely heal, but you get to a point where you build everything up around it that you're able to go out there and perform.
How is the performance at the moment for the team? How have you seen it sitting in the box? Obviously, different vantage point, but how's it going?
Yeah, we've obviously since I was in here last, we played a really inconsistent game against the Gold Coast, where we were, we really let ourselves down in terms of our work rate in defence and our ability to move the ball freely just wasn't there.
Was that the most disappointed you've been as a Collingwood person for a little while? Because that was seemingly the sentiment from outside watching, that was the one that, bloody hell, what's happening here? That was the one people started asking real questions about, what is going on at Collingwood? Just seemed the effort wasn't there. And the system broke down.
It's a funny one. Like the effort was, the guys were certainly out there trying.
When I say the effort, looks as if, just so disjointed that it looks as though it's not.
That's sort of how I think it felt for the guys. Like nothing was really coming easy. Once you get that flow state as a team, you're sort of able to just play freely, confidently, and it makes the game a lot easier. And I think that the way that players were describing after the game was just a bit of a slog. It sort of does come off the back of the work rate and intense stuff. We highlighted that after the Gold Coast game, and bit of education for our younger guys. We played a relatively young side against Gold Coast, and some of those guys were coming off really big patches of footy.
Yep.
3, 4, 5 weeks of games where they hadn't played footy for 12 months. A guy like Finlay McRae debuted over in Perth, played an Anzac Day. So two huge games. They fly back on the red eye from Perth, play in the Anzac Day game, and then he plays a quieter one against Gold Coast. And he actually sent me a text and said, can we catch up? And, all he wanted to do was talk about how he can get better. And so, our kids are really trying. They've got the right attitude. But they've probably been made to do a little bit more work than we first hoped, obviously, given our injury list and, the depth of players that we have lost. So, they're really trying. We felt that we just needed a realignment with our team D, and we got that on the weekend. Our performance against North was much, much better. Looked a lot more connected. We still, again, could be a little bit more polished. The fact that they came back in the third quarter and really put the head on us for us to be able to steady the ship and run away with a 30-odd point win was really pleasing.
That Gold Coast game, I know it's a couple of weeks ago now, we want to sort of move forward, but as Half said, you kind of looked almost tired. Did you do anything different? Like often when clubs are going through this funk, I remember back in the days, Kevin Sheedy used to take Essendon up to a farm in the middle of nowhere and have a bonfire and drink cans around the bonfire and
bring it back.
Those sorts of things. Paintballing? Or I don't know. Whatever it is you do. Did you do something different to try and snap the funk that you've been in?
not as dramatic as going up to the bush and drinking cans. We changed a few things in our schedule just to, and I guess, freshen up the minds mentally. But we certainly didn't shy away from the reasons why we lost the game. You know, we had really open and honest conversations about what's made us a good footy team and where we're currently at and what was letting us down. And I think that made it a lot more clear for our younger section of players who had, you know, sort of come in and they're playing games, you know, that bit of a whirlwind for them. You know, just the fact that they're so excited to be playing. At times they can be caught out of structure or, you know, it can all become a little bit too much for them. So, yeah, our week didn't really change too much. It was the performance, although disappointing, you know, there was some positives we took out of it. As I said, that realignment was really crucial for us just to refocus on what was important.
Because I'm interested, we were talking to Marcus Bonapelli about this yesterday, just off the back of the Richmond stuff, which we won't get into. We're sort of a bit over that. But more about balance in life. Has it changed because of what you've gone through with COVID? You know, this whole thing about, you know, the whole of Victoria was just in this state of just...
What's that word
well,
again?
I don't know. But then when you're going through a tough time at Collingwood, have you got different perspective on things that it's not the be-all and end-all? Or is it because you're all fighting for careers and fighting to be as successful as possible?
Yeah. That's such an individual question. For me, it's my perspective on football has changed, but it doesn't mean that I don't care as much about
absolutely
it.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
I just know that once you, from experience, if you do tense up as a unit, as a coaching group, as a leadership group, you do tense up and you come out and you almost internally bluing, it just doesn't work. It's not effective. So we analyse the game like we would any game. We look at what we did well, both sides of the ball, what we did well in terms of the contest, what we didn't do well, both sides of the ball, and what we didn't do well in terms of the contest. And we get to work on it. We're huge on, you know, guys getting into training really well, having focuses for the week, so that when they get to match day, 95% of it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to walk out there confident and that you can go, that you're going to go out there and perform well. And that goes for the individual and for the team. So, you know, we have been in a bit of a rut where it almost looks like we're a little bit disconnected as a group when we're playing, but internally you'd be surprised at, you know, how jovial the change rooms are, and it's not all doom and gloom amongst the playing group. You know, we're really upbeat about how we can turn our season around and what needs to be done, and guys are putting in the time and the effort to get that done during the week.
How's the coach going? I always ask about the coach. He's one of the most talked about figures in football. Regardless of what's happening, going well, going poorly, he's Nathan Buckley's big business. How's he tracking?
Oh, he seems to be doing really well. I obviously can't answer that question for him, but from my point of view, he's done a really good job again of sort of weathering the storm. Obviously, he's Nathan Buckley is a much talked about person in the football circles, and you know, when Collingwood aren't going well, his name's in just about every newspaper every day. So his process hasn't changed. He seems to be doing really well.
Is he as sometimes when it gets to a point where things aren't going well for a coach, they become more hands on and take control of more things? Is that Bucks' go, or is he still keeping the same process? The coaches, assistant coaches, do their thing. He does his thing, and nothing's really changed in the last little while.
Yeah, and that's what I was sort of talking about before with you know, when you sort of tense up and think you can do it more yourself. No, yep. I think he's, and I've learned that, I think, from seeing our coaching group operate. You know, they've kept everything the same. If you do go and do that, the playing group notices it.
Yeah.
And they can become a little bit tense as well. So
good point.
Everything's been kept the same. As I said, we've analysed and reviewed every game exactly the same. And we've put things in place to sort of make where we're falling short some of our strengths, and focusing really hard on that during the week, and that's been, you know, it's been positive, because once you review the game, you're able to move on from it and you're not dwelling on what's been. You've taken the key learnings out of it, and then you just get to go to work on it.
Taylor Adams with us, the Inner Sanctum of the Magpies on the Breakfast Club on a Thursday morning. Darcy Moore's had an interesting couple of weeks, I reckon. It was fascinating, actually, because the whole football world was calling for him to go and play forward for the Magpies. Mm. He's an All-Australian defender, has a ripping start to the season as the defender, and so for some reason, the whole world was pushing for him to be a forward for the Magpies. He does that for a couple of weeks, perhaps didn't get the outcomes that you would have liked, but the team didn't play so well, so it makes a bit of sense. He goes back on the weekend, absolutely dominates.
Mm.
Where's his head at the moment? Have you spoken to him much about his position in the team in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I actually have spoken a lot to him about it. He was really optimistic and positive about whatever the team needed he was going to do. I spoke to him directly after the Gold Coast game. And obviously he didn't play his best game and didn't have much of an impact in front of the ball. And then he got thrown back late.
Mm.
The way that he explained it was he's willing to do whatever he needs to do for the team, whatever the coaching staff want him to do, and that if he is to continue to play forward, he's just got to get better. And that's the sort of bloke that Darcy is. That's the sort of person he is. He'll sort of do whatever is needed, but he's also holds himself to a really high standard.
Yep.
When I last spoke to him, when I spoke to him after that Gold Coast game, he was still going to play for the next week. And so he was sort of preparing to do that, even an hour, 90 minutes after the game had finished.
How much of it was the team not playing well when Darcy went forward versus Darcy not playing well as a forward?
Probably 50-50. Obviously the supply against Gold Coast wasn't great. But as a forward, he didn't play his role to the standard that we needed of him, and he was made aware of that, and he knew that himself walking off the ground. So really, really difficult position for him to be in, because he's trained for the last 3 years as a key defender, and the positions are just so different. Although externally you might think that they just line up against each other. Playing in a system of team defense as a key defender is just so different to a power forward. So, it was a really difficult transition for him. As I said, he took a really good attitude into it and was willing to do whatever he needed to do for the team. And at some stage, we might have to go back there. So, I'm not going to completely rule it out now.
Yeah. So, and the other one that I was really interested in on Saturday was Scott Pendlebury going and playing as a pretty much a permanent half forward flanker.
Yeah.
It did change when things got a bit tight in the third quarter, where he went more into the midfield. But is this something we'll see more of? And this is a 2-part question: will we see more of it? And is it happening to give you a different look forward, or is it to give younger guys an opportunity to play midfield? So it's not just Scott Pendlebury all the time in there.
Yeah, we will see it more often. Obviously, his whole game was really, really good.
Mm.
But as a forward, he was really damaging. Provides some great leadership down there. Speaking to Geordie after the game, he was saying that it almost felt like he had a coach out there in Pendles, because he seriously sees the game as well as anyone, and in real time as well. So his feedback is crucial. So, I think you'll see Pendle spend a little bit more time there. It was more so to have him in front of the ball rather than give younger guys an opportunity in the midfield. But it meant that Dakes and some of our younger players were able to run through there for the majority of the game and had the opportunity to be the real generals through the centre of the ground with Sidey. So, it was a sort of a win-win for us. When it got a little bit tight in the third quarter, obviously you saw Pendles go back into the centre, and he looked really fresh. And obviously it's a different roll up forward. You had probably a little bit more rest, more high intensity running. But it's nice to be able to have him do what he did in front of the ball, and then be able to come into the midfield and provide some leadership and some guidance.
Now you got a bit, pardon the pun, you got a bit frosty at the Big Freeze launch on Tuesday about Jordan Dugowie. You've got quite passionate for your teammate about how he's been seen in the media in the last period of time, and obviously he had a big game on the weekend. Explain a little bit more about why he did get so passionate about him.
Oh, it wasn't necessarily about Geordie. It was more about the article that were written and the fact that journos doubled down on me calling it out. The article that was written was was basically said that Jordan Ngoi faced the leadership group and was grilled, which didn't happen. And then I was named as the person that was the one that gave him a lashing, and that also didn't happen. So I was a little bit frustrated that I think it was Peter Ryan wrote the article at the start, and I actually spoke to him on the phone, and we cleared it up, and then another journalist decided to double down on it, and basically say that my events of the story were untrue, which, there was only two people that heard the conversation between Geordie and I, and that was Geordie and I. So,
concern you that it gets out?
No, it doesn't. It's
rattle you?
No, it doesn't at all. No, because it wasn't. People want to talk about Geordie. People want to talk about the Collingwood Football Club. It could have been as simple as hearing that Geordie and I were sitting down after the game having a conversation and just interpreting or guessing that was obviously going to be a bad conversation because he didn't play well. That's fine. My biggest concern was for Geordie and for our younger players, so that if they read that article, they didn't think that if they played a bad game, they were going to face the wrath of Taylor Adams. That wasn't what happened. Instead, it was actually one where I said to Geordie, let's review your last couple of weeks and let's get to work on what we can do better. And that's exactly what we did last week. We spent a lot of time together. I watched some vision, did some extra sessions, and I'm not saying I'm the reason he kicked six,
I'm
a big part of it. So. No, it was, that was, and this is probably the last time I want to talk about it because it's been brought up a lot. Jordan does get used as a bit of a scapegoat at our football club, and I can understand why. He does sell papers. He's a big name. He's a really likable guy, both on and off the field. A lot of kids love seeing Jordan play. He's a real jovial, fun guy off the field. So he's sort of, people were drawn to him. So I get all of that. The thing is, it's just unfair criticism of a guy that had been knocked out, had played one bad game in a team that wasn't performing well, and he's the reason why we lost it. And the other part of it was leadership group, including myself, hadn't performed well enough, consistently enough over the first 6 weeks of the season. And so we wanted to make a stance that, no, it's not. We're not blaming Jordan. We're putting our hand up and we're all going to get better together. And he performed really well on the weekend, and the challenge is for Jordan to do that consistently, and he knows that. He was the one that put his hand up and he came to me and said, can you help me out, after we spoke after the game. And, he had a brilliant summer. He came back in really good shape. He had a couple of leaner weeks where he didn't perform the way he wanted to, but he's willing to put the work in, and he'll see the results if he does that.
This is why Mick McGowan said a number of years ago why this man here will be the next captain of Collingwood. That's leadership.
Seemingly that's correct. Well, if he's getting six goals out of him, it's fantastic leadership. And you
he'll be captain and coach.
You're the difference, let's be honest. I must admit, that was really well said, Taylor. I'm going back to Scott Pendlebury in the forward line to help Jordan Ngoi. And I immediately think of 1995... and Collingwood made a decision to recruit Dermot Brereton to play in the forward line alongside Sav Rocker.
Yeah.
Now, Sav was an emerging forward, played a couple of games to that point, but Dermot was there to look after him, teach him, protect him. It makes a bit of sense. Jordan Ngoi is a match winner, and you want him influencing games more often than not. Scott Pendlebury has played more games in history of the footy club than anyone else. He's been around a little while. He knows the game inside out, as you talked about. Having him forward of the ball, being able to not only be that guy who delivers the ball to those sort of players, but guide them through the contest on the fly in real time, as you said before, that makes a hell of a lot of sense to me, because you don't have that authoritarian figure in the forward line outside of that, do you really?
Yeah, well, our forward line is quite young, especially with Billy Elliott out at the moment. And even like Coxie not playing, it means that our forward line is relatively young. We've got Checkers down there, who's more of an introvert.
Yeah.
So, having Pendles down there is you'd like to have Pendles in
everywhere.
The midfield.
Yeah.
And probably down, maybe not down back, a little bit slow for the back line. he's they work really well together, Scott and Jordan. They sort of have this little bromance that they've got going on that, Pendles really understands what Geordie needs, and he just gets it done for him. And Geordie just kicks the goals. But, clearly worked well. He's you know, ball in hand is the other thing. He makes, obviously, clearly, you know, one of the best decision makers in the game. So having him using the ball, distributing the ball inside the forward line it's a real positive for us.
I'm mindful of the fact the time's gone fast and we've got other things we've got to do. But the last question for me is, it's more an opportunity for the Collingwood fans out there that are a bit worried about how you're going. What's the message to the fans? You've got three tough games in a row coming up.
Yeah.
That could or could not determine your season, but what's the message for the fans out there that are a bit worried?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to win all three games and everything's going to be fine. We'll be playing finals in 2021, but all games we're going into, we see as winnable. We can win those games. We know that to do that, we have to perform for four quarters. We have to, probably play better than we have been. You know, connect better than we have been. But you know, week to week, we're certainly putting the work in. We feel really confident about where we're heading. We're trending in the right direction after a really slow start. So stick in there with us. We feel your pain, and we understand that the season hasn't started the way we all wanted it to. But still plenty of games left, and we look forward to finishing off the next 4 or 5 weeks before the bye really strongly.
Well, Saturday afternoon is the next encounter for the Magpies up at the SCG against the Sydney Swans. It's going to be a tough battle, and hopefully the form from last week continues and grows into this game. It's going to be a big one. You'll be watching from the coach's box or at home?
Yeah, I'm flying up there tomorrow with the team. I'll do a session Saturday morning before we play, and then help cheer the boys on.
The architect for the victory.
Yes. Well, how many goals for Geordie this week? When the reviews you've done this week with him, how many for JDG?
I'll let you know. I have to train him today to find him.
Right, I will leave you to it. Good on you, buddy. Nice to see you out of the contraption, and good luck with your recovery.
Cheers, guys. Thanks,
Taylor Adams from the Magpies with us in the Inner Sanctum. Always a very welcome guest around here on The Breakfast Club. Brett Johnson's another one of those.